Hello, welcome to a new scheduling class, and today we're going to be talking about linear scheduling method, or LSM, also known as the line of balance. We're broadcasting today from the outdoors since the weather's getting better, so just to encourage you to be more active these days. So far we have talked about different scheduling techniques. We started with a checklist, followed that by an ADM, arrow diagramming method, following that by PDM, precedence diagramming method. We learned about how to build the network, and then we learned how to do the calculations. We learned how to calculate durations. We learned how to integrate the uncertainty in the project durations through PERT. And then we learned how to calculate the early start, early finish, late start, late finish, total float, free float, etc. The following step was to perform according to that schedule and to update the schedule periodically. And then we learned, in case of delays, how to compress the duration of the schedule. We learned how to calculate the cash flow for the schedule. So today we're going to talk about a new scheduling technique that's primarily used for repetitive projects. Repetitive projects or repetitive activities can be in the form either of horizontal projects or vertical projects. Horizontal projects, an example would be a pipeline or a highway or something of a horizontal nature, where what you do for the first segment of that project, you keep repeating it for all the other segments of the project. So what you do for the first 100 yards of that highway, most of the activities are going to be exactly the same that you do for each other segment of 100 yards of highway. Same thing applies to pipelines. Same thing applies to high-rise buildings, by the way. So whatever activities you do for the third floor are going to be the same as the fifth, as the ninth, as the 20th, and so on. Then there's no meaning in basically repeating the same activities as a block of activities in a network, which is going to be a very large network composed of smaller networks of repetitive activities. Therefore came a new idea of representing these the progress on the schedule in a different way, and that's basically how the line of balance started. So we're going to talk about this technique, and we'll see how to perform its calculations. Project activities can be represented by different graphical techniques. This technique graphically represents the activity progress with respect to its location, hence it's sometimes called time and location. That's another way of using the line of balance method. So here are some of the old methods that we learned about. Time-scaled network, which we mentioned is not going to be very practical, especially for very large projects, where you're going to have these links between the activities on a Gantt chart intersecting with each other. It's going to be almost impossible to read that network. And then we learned about the arrow diagramming method and the precedence diagramming method. So through the arrow diagramming method, we had the dummy activities, which were not the easiest thing to deal with. And then we had the issue of all the activities having to be done in a finish to start method, which is not basically how most activities are done. And then we learned about the precedence diagramming method, and we find that this is a very good method to use. So we are still using it until today. And then to represent these, to represent the PDM, as you have seen on Microsoft Project, we have to convert it into a Gantt chart, because this is much easier as a communication tool and for everyone involved in the project to understand. So today we're going to talk about this new method, which is the line of balance. Line of balance graphs are drawn on two perpendicular axes. The horizontal axis represents time, whether that time is going to be measured in hours, days, months, weeks, whatever, so an increment of time units. And the vertical axis is going to represent location. Where is this activity located? So, for example, this blue line represents activity one. So, if we say, for example, that this is the structural steel for a high-rise building. So this is going to be the structural steel for the first floor, for the second floor, third floor, fourth floor, etc. It shows that each floor depends on the previous one, and shows how long is it going to take. So if you measure horizontally, this floor is going to take, let's say, 5 days, and then 5 days, and then 5 days, etc. For the second activity, which might be, for example, fireproofing of that structural steel. So again, it's going to be a little bit faster, because fireproofing is basically spraying on that steel. It's going to be faster than erecting the construction steel itself. And again, it shows that the activity is faster, which means the duration per activity is shorter, and it shows that through the slope of the line. The steeper the slope of the line, the shorter the duration of the activity. The milder the slope of the line, the longer the duration per activity. So steps to build the schedule using the line of balance. First step is to determine the work activities, which is basically going to follow the same steps as we did with presence diagramming method, for example. Remember what we did with presence? We took the project, we started breaking it down into smaller units and then smaller entities and so on through the work breakdown structure, if you remember dissecting the elephant. And that's how we reached the work packages. And then we broke down the work packages into smaller units, which are the activities. So that's going to be the first step, which is determine the work activities, very similar to any network project. Second step is going to be to estimate the activity production rates. So we're going to look at what are the resources involved in this activity and what's the production rate of these different resources. So far, we're doing exactly the same as with networks, by the way. Third step is develop an activity sequence to determine logical relationships. Exactly the same thing, whether the relationships are going to be finished to start or are going to be start to start or whatever. And then the fourth step, this is basically where we have a difference between the line of balance and the networks. Adjust the production rates and add buffers if needed to avoid interference and clashes. If I say, for example, that the construction steel is going to go according to a certain pace, it's going to take 5 days per floor, whereas the spraying for the fire protection is going to take only 3 days per floor. So if I start, if the activity is start to start with lag, after I finished the first three floors, structural steel, I'm going to start spraying. But spraying goes at a faster pace, so at a certain point they're going to intersect. There's going to be a clash between the activities. Therefore, I have to slow down the speed of the fireproofing by taking a few days off. Days off are going to be represented by a horizontal line. And then I'm going to proceed at the same speed again until I'm almost about to clash again. So I'm going to take another break and so on. So this is basically what we talk about when we say adjust the production rates and add buffers. This buffer is an insulation area or a cushion between the activities so that they do not clash or interfere. The activity productivity is derived from the interaction of different resources and their production rates during the estimating process. Remember that the equation for the duration is exactly the same wherever we use it, which is Q over P, quantity divided by production rate. So in this case of having multiple resources involved in the same activity, we take the slowest production rate for that activity, divide the quantity by that production rate, and that gives the duration. It's going to be designated by the slope of each activity. Steep slopes designate high production rates, whereas mild slopes represent slow production rates. A horizontal line represents no work or zero production rate because time is passing and no progress is going to be done. An example on estimating production, you don't have to know the exact details here because that, if you have taken the equipment course, you would know what we're talking about. But basically, to estimate the duration for grading 4 miles on unpaved road using a Caterpillar 120H. The activities and the proposed speeds are as follows. Ditching, which is an activity, is going to take 6 passes in first gear. First gear is going to be basically the slowest gear. So the equipment is going to proceed at a very slow pace. Reshaping, 9 passes in second gear, and final grading is going to take 4 passes in third gear. So as you can see, the final grading is going to be much faster than the ditching, and the reshaping is going to be faster than ditching, slower than the final grading. To calculate the speeds, basically based on first the properties of that piece of equipment. Again, this is something that you learn about in the equipment class. Don't worry about it right now. This is just an example for the display of the process itself. So from the production curves for a CAT 120H, the following speeds have been calculated. First gear 2.3 miles per hour, second gear 3.1 miles per hour, and third gear 4.5 miles per hour. This is from the properties of that piece of equipment. The formula for the distance in miles, again, this is from the construction equipment class. Time is equal to number of passes times distance divided by speed times efficiency. So we have the number of passes for each one of the activities, whether it's 9 passes, 6 passes, etc. The distance is going to be the same for all the activities because we're doing it for the same segment of the highway. Speed has been obtained from the previous slide depending on the gear. And efficiency is how many productive minutes do you get per hour from that piece of equipment. No piece of equipment is going to work continuously 60 minutes an hour. It's going to be probably 50 minutes an hour or 45 minutes an hour. So the efficiency is going to be probably 75%, 83%, something like that. So distance is going to be in miles, speed in miles per hour, resulting time is going to be in hours. The efficiency factor for an average operator during daylight hours, we would expect a 50 minute per hour efficiency, or a 0.83, which is 50 divided by 60 efficiency factor. So the time to ditch, the number of passes is 6, distance is 4 miles, speed is 2.3 miles per hour, efficiency factor 0.83. So by applying the equation, we get the duration for this activity is going to be 12.6 hours. To reshape, same distance, 4 miles, number of passes has increased a little bit, and the speed has also increased, so we do it in 14 hours. And then for grading, it's going to be done in only 4.3 hours because it's a lower number of passes and a higher speed. So the total duration for this process, if these activities were done as finish to start back to back, is going to be 12.6 plus 14 hours plus 4.3 hours. Now, we know that we don't need to do one activity for all 4 miles in order to be able to start the following activities. In this case, they can start as a start to start with some lag. In this case, the lag is going to be called our buffer that we talked about. So the activity slope does not have to be constant, which means the duration, the progress rate, or the production rate, which in this case is the speed, does not have to be constant. So it can vary from one segment to another. You can start very slow and then build up speed and then slow down again towards the end. So if we were to produce it graphically through a line of balance, it's going to be appear something like this. Of course, the lines are not going to be exactly parallel because the production rate and therefore the speed of the activity is going to vary from one activity to another. The curves in the previous example are usually placed by broken straight line. Again, because the speed might not, you may slow down a little bit, you may increase your speed a little bit, and so on. So, if the activity is at one location, which means you're not moving, you're spending time without moving, then in this case, it's represented by a horizontal line. Like here, for example, again, horizontal line means that there's time passing with no progress being done. On the other hand, this is another example, 3 activities, surveying, underground utilities, and foundation. The underground utilities can be a little bit slower than surveying and the foundation, so if we do it this way, you're going to have an interference or a clash, and we cannot accept that. So how are we going to deal with that? The buffer is going to be the linear schedule. The linear schedule uses 2 types of buffers, the time buffer and the location or space buffer. Time buffer is formed by a horizontal offset from one activity to its follower, the gap between the activities, what we call the lag or the delay. Location buffer is formed by a vertical offset from one activity to its follower. So this, for example, here is a buffer that's introduced at the end to make sure that the activities do not clash. So this is a buffer, horizontal buffer or time buffer. And then another example of a time buffer also. And then here, this is a vertical buffer. it shows the difference in location. So this is going to be at a certain location, this is going to be at another location. The example, don't worry about it, because the example at the end is going to explain all of these things. The productivity rate of an activity can vary, therefore the line representing its progress can be broken. So it's going to proceed at a certain speed, change speed, accelerate it, and then slow it down at the end, which is going to be represented by a broken line. How are we going to update? So this is a planning tool. How are we going to make it a control tool as well? How are we going to update our project? Schedule updates reflecting actual performance information include time of occurrence, when did it actually happen, amount or percentage of work completed, and changes, in case of changes, changes for to future work. An updated schedule is a revised schedule reflecting project information at a given data date. Same thing, the vertical line, as we did with the Gantt chart, is going to represent the data date. Regarding completed activities, in-progress activities, and changes in logic, cost, and resources required and allocated at any activity level. So the data date, also known, if you remember from updating, also known as cutoff date, as of date, status date, all of these are different names. The date as of which all progress on a project is reported. It's not the current date or the time now. This may be 2 weeks ago when I made the update for my schedule. So here, for example, this was the original schedule, and then I introduced the data date to measure my actual performance. And this green line for earth moving represented the planned schedule. The red line, the dark red line, represents the actual schedule. So this shows the delay in the activities. In fact, it shows that the activity, the line is milder. Therefore, the progress was slower. Therefore, we have a delay. We were supposed to be here on this date after 4 days, but we are only here. We are at the same point at after five days. So we are 1 day behind schedule. Let's look at an example, and this example hopefully is going to make things very clear. A project consists of 5 activities. These 5 activities are excavating a trench, laying a sub-base of gravel, laying a concrete pipe, backfilling after you lay the pipe, and you connect them, of course, and then compacting to flatten and to level the site. We have length of the pipe, which is the same, 1,000 feet. And then we have production rates that are shown in the table. To excavate the trench is going to be done at the pace of 100 linear feet per day. So it's going to take basically 1,000 feet divided by 100 linear feet per day, which is going to take 10 days. Laying a sub base of gravel is going to be again 125 linear feet per day. So this whole activity is going to take 1,000 feet divided by 125. That's going to give 8 days. Laying a concrete pipe, 75 linear feet per day. We can calculate the duration. Backfilling, 200 linear feet per day, much faster. So it's going to take only 5 days. And then compacting, 150 linear feet per day, so it's going to be about maybe 6.5 days, which can be rounded up to 7 days. So from this production rate, we can basically calculate the durations. Just as we said on the previous slide, 1,000 divided by 100, which is the production rate, gives 10 days, 8 days, 30.33, 5, 6.6, 7 days. So if we were to plot these activities, how are we going to do that? This is the first one, showing the speed. So one segment is going to take that long, or 1 day is going to take that amount, and then the following day, and so on. So the first activity, here's the first activity. And then I'm going to introduce a 2 day buffer between activities, because as you can see from the previous table here, this activity is faster. Laying a sub base of gravel takes only 8 days. So if I were to proceed at the same speed as the first activity, we're going to clash at a certain point. So what I did is I waited, I calculated this from the end. I drew the graph first, and based on that I decided when am I going to be able to start the second activity. But I did it from the end. I looked when is the last excavation part is going to take place. And then I added 2 days from the end, from the back. So if we start on day zero, for example, the excavation is going to be done in 10 days. So what I'm going to say is, okay, I want the laying of the sub-base of gravel done in 12 days. 2 days later than the completion of the excavation. So I added 2 days to the completion, which is day 10, and then I worked my speed backwards. I deducted or subtracted 8 days. So 10 plus 2, the buffer, minus 8 to get the start of laying of the sub-base. Now, where am I going to add the buffer? Am I going to always add the buffer at the end, or am I going to add it at the beginning? Depends on the speed of the following activity. If the speed of the following activity, which means the duration, if the speed is higher, means that the duration is shorter. If the speed is higher, the production rate is higher, and the duration is shorter, I add the buffer from the end. If the speed is slower, therefore the duration is longer, I add the buffer from the beginning. So between activity 1 and 2, or A and B, we notice that activity B is faster than activity A, therefore I'm going to add the buffer from the end. Activity C is slower than activity B, therefore I'm going to add the buffer from the beginning. Activity D is much faster than activity C, which means I'm going to add the buffer from the end again. Activity D is slower than activity E is slower than activity D, meaning that I'm going to add the buffer from the beginning. So to illustrate that, here it is. Here's the first activity, 10 days. I added the buffer from the end, got 12 days. Subtracted 8 days to get to the start of this activity, which is going to be basically day 4. This is not drawn to scale, by the way, it's just for illustration. And then I added 2 days, day 6. I started this activity on day 6. I added 13.33 days. I don't need to round up here, by the way. And then I added my buffer at the end, and then subtracted 5 because the speed was very high here. And then got the duration, the start of this activity, and then added 2 days of buffer, and then added the duration of the last activity, 6.67, and that gave me a total project duration of 25 days. Notice that the total project duration is not the sum of the durations of the activities. If you were to add the durations of the activities, it would have been 10 plus 8, that's 18, plus 13.33, that's 31.33, plus 5, that's 36.33, plus 6.67, that would be 40 days. But we did not do it in 40 days. We were able to finish that project in only 25 days, and that's how the line of balance is going to be drawn. So you can automate your calculations, by the way, using a spreadsheet by entering the proper production rates and adding your buffer time and so on and so forth, and that's going to enable you to calculate that automatically. And there's some software that can plot that. We're not going to be dealing with that. So right now what we're going to be doing, we're just going to be doing it manually for a very simple set of activities. You're going to see that on the assignment. Very simple set of activities. You can do that very easily. Follow the exact same steps. Calculate the duration of the activity first by dividing the total quantity by the production rate. And from that, so let's go back and very quickly review what we did. Here's step number one. We have the total quantity, 1,000 feet. We calculated the duration for each activity. And then after that, we looked at the speed of these activities and where are we going to add the buffer. We decided on the buffer in this case, by the way. We decided it's going to be 2 days. On a problem or on a test, I'm going to give you the buffer to add. So in real life, however, you are going to determine that buffer. So in this case, we decided the buffer is going to be 2 days. So I started by plotting the first activity. And then from the end, I added the buffer because the following activity is slower, is faster actually. Subtracted the duration of the following activity to get when should it start. And then added the buffer again. And then added the duration of the following activity and so on and so forth until I got the total duration of the project. This is basically what the line of balance is all about. It's a very simple technique. As I said before, it's used quite often in highway construction, in planning and control of highway construction or high-rise buildings, especially when you have the same set of activities that are done over and over again for the different floors. I'll see you in another lecture. Probably next time we're going to meet indoors again. So good luck, and I'll see you in class.